To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be praise, glory, and honor now and forever. Amen. God's word before us this morning as we continue our study of prayer is in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. We'll read verses 5 through 13. In the Pew Bible, this is on page 333. Again, 1 Kings, chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, Pew Bible, page 333. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings." This is the word of God before us today. Let me start this morning by asking you a question. What do we need? Let me ask it again. What do we need? Note that I'm not asking what do we want, but what do we need? There's a whole world of difference between the two, isn't there? And yet so often we don't remember that, and when God doesn't give us everything we want, we end up accusing him of not being faithful to his promises. God is ready, God is willing, God is able to give us whatever we want. That's his promise. Over and again in his word, he promises to meet every necessity we have, whether it's for this life or for the next. And we know that God makes good on all of his promises. The Spirit once inspired the Apostle Paul to write, "God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." As we continue our summer series of sermons on the power of prayer, using as our guide the Lord's Prayer, we today focus on the fourth petition and consider a prayer of Solomon. A prayer that encourages us, when God gives a blank check, let's shoot high with humility and let's shoot high with confidence. I chose the two parts to my sermon today. After sitting in the pews with you last week at this time and singing these words from one of the songs that was assigned to this service, and let's say that together as our opening prayer. Give deep humility, the sense of godly sorrow give, a strong desire with confidence to hear your voice and live. Amen. Solomon is the poster child of a believer praying wisely. In his great mercy, God had chosen Solomon to be the third king of the United Kingdom of Israel, following Saul and David. Each of these three men ruled for 40 years, for a total of 120 years, until there was a civil war which divided the United Kingdom into the northern and the southern kingdoms. God knew, as Solomon was beginning his tenure as king of Israel, that he would need his help. And so, as Solomon begins his 40-year rule, God, in effect, gives him a blank check. The first verse of our text states, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.'" Can you imagine that? What an offer. Anything in the whole wide world, and really beyond that, could be Solomon's. Anything. I read no restrictions, no limitations that God puts on this offer. This isn't a conditional offer where Solomon has to make sure he reads all the fine print before he signs the contract. It's an open-ended offer, which also makes it a very tempting offer, doesn't it? If God were to come to us and make this same offer to us, what kinds of things would we ask for? Now, Solomon's answer reveals a number of things about him. First, he understands the great mercy that God has shown to his father. "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David," he says, "because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart." Then Solomon confesses that God has been just as merciful to him in making him king. "You have continued this great kindness to him and given him a son to sit on his throne to this very day." Next, Solomon admits his own unworthiness. He calls himself a little child in our text, and admits that he needs God's help, especially in light of the great number of people in his kingdom, a great people, too numerous to count or number, he says. Finally, Solomon humbly asks God for wisdom, godly wisdom, to rule over his people. He prays, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong." Please realize that by giving Solomon a blank check, God is teaching him and us a lesson. God knows what Solomon needs. God is omniscient, a big word that means all-knowing. God knows everything. That means that God knows what we need. Yet, how often do we find ourselves not asking God for what we need? James says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." Time and again, God encourages us. He even commands us to pray. I don't know of any place in the Bible where God says, "Okay, you've prayed enough, now you can stop praying." But God does have to encourage us continually to pray without ceasing, because we don't pray the way we should. We're sinful. We're lazy. And so often we cut short what God could do for us in our prayers. After Jesus gave his disciples the Lord's Prayer to pray, he included a wonderful promise. He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened." So with Jesus' gracious promise ringing and resounding in our ears, let's start asking. Let's start seeking. Let's start knocking on God's door. agreed? There's a reason why God wants us to pray, and that's so that he can then answer our prayers in grace. There is no other God in all the religions of the world like that. The grace and the love and the mercy of our God cause us to stand in his presence in humility. Think of it. Here is the Lord God Almighty, the creator of everything that exists. Here is the Lord God Almighty who, if he were to take his finger off the control of this universe for a split second, it would cease to exist. And he's inviting us to come to him and ask him for anything, anything. How awesome is that? We come to God open-handed, really only handing him our sins, and deserve nothing. And yet God promises us everything. How humbling is that? As God says through the prophet Isaiah, has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Humbly, we come before God with absolutely nothing to offer. As so many of us love to sing, nothing in my hands I bring. We come to God in prayer because in grace he invites us to come. And I can't speak for you, I only can speak for myself, but so often, so sadly, I sell God short as I come to him with my long laundry list of prayer requests. I come to him with requests that are so trivial, so small, so minute. It's almost as if God's promising me $1 million, hypothetically speaking, and I choose to ask for the $5 or the $10. It's not that any of these prayers are wrong, and it's not that God won't hear and answer them. Jesus says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need them, but God wants me to have more. So much more. Things like forgiveness and faith, things like Jesus and justification, things like life and eternal life. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. No prayer is wrong. God says we can ask for anything, but let's ask for the best. And since God does give us a blank check, let's shoot high and let's do it humbly in Christ. Let's also do it with confidence. Solomon knows that God's promise and power are sure. Solomon recognizes that he has no right to stand in God's presence on his own. And so when it comes to his ability to rule over this great people of God, Solomon admits his doubts. He prays, your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. What Solomon is undertaking is an awesome responsibility. The task of ruling over God's people is enormous. It will take wisdom. Godly wisdom, the wisdom only God can give. And so it's for that kind of wisdom that Solomon prays. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. I can just imagine God's face breaking into a smile. Our text says the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. Then after listing a whole slew of things for which Solomon could have asked but didn't, God promises him all of those things. Great blessings are promised by God. I will do what you have asked, he said. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. As I mentioned earlier, Solomon is the poster child for a believer praying wisely. And so part of our prayer paradigm, our prayer mindset, is that we pray confidently. We know our identity in Christ. We know that in Jesus Christ we stand before God forgiven, his sons and daughters. And so Scripture says to us, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. A believer who prays wisely is a believer who is praying confidently. And this confidence with which we pray is ours by faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. By faith, we know with confidence that God is ready, willing, and able to help us. By faith, we know with confidence that just as God does not hold our sins against us, so will he not withhold his answers to our prayers from us. In fact, the very opposite is true. Jesus says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." We know by faith with confidence that Jesus is ready and willing, able to do whatever we ask him. When we're praying in his name, trusting that God hears his prayers, and also praying according to his will. My friends, God wants us to pray as bold believers. He wants us to pray as confident Christians. This boldness and this confidence don't come from within. They come from without. They come from God. God is the one who gives us the faith to believe that in Christ we are forgiven. God is the one who gives us the confidence to know that we stand in his presence as justified sinners. That means sinners who have been declared not guilty because of the blood of Jesus Christ. When we come before God in our prayers, we don't come as strangers. We don't come as foreigners. We don't come as aliens, we come as forgiven and saved children of God. That is our identity. That is what we are in Christ. And so John the Apostle says to us, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask." God wants us to ask for the very best. He wants us to shoot for the moon, so to speak. Since God gives us a blank check, let's shoot high. And let's do so confidently in Christ. I find it incredibly amazing that Martin Luther includes so many things in his explanation to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." These are his words, and let's say these together again. Daily bread includes everything that we need for our bodily welfare, such as food and drink, clothing and shoes, house and home, land and cattle, money and goods, a godly spouse, godly children, godly workers, godly and faithful leaders, good government, good weather, peace and order, health, a good name, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. I also find it significant that in the Lord's Prayer, this is the only petition out of seven where we ask for material things, things for the body, things for life, things for the earth. In the other six, Jesus teaches us to pray for spiritual things, things for the soul, things for faith, things for heaven. Since God gives us a blank check, since we really can shoot for the moon in our prayers, let's follow Jesus' example. Let's shoot high and do so both humbly and confidently in Him. And so this doxology is appropriate. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.